It's good to be with you all this morning. What a great week it's been to be able to meet and to worship God every day of the week. And we've been studying from the book of Hebrews, and throughout the lessons that we've had this week, we've gone over and over again to these great examples of faith that we see in Hebrews chapter 11. There we see in verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into the place which he would receive as an inheritance. Then we had a lesson on the faith of Moses in verse 24. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. So we see that the faith that these great men and women had is what guided them in their life and their service unto God. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. You see, the fullness of the promises of God had not yet come to pass at that time. And in verse 39 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So we see that God has provided something better for us. And we've learned this week that that promise that's better for us is that which comes through Christ Jesus, the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ. And then he continues there in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This idea of laying aside every weight, it's one that indicates a level of peace and joy that's there in our life, that we can lay aside our cares and our thoughts of this world, knowing that we have forgiveness through Christ Jesus, that we've been cleansed of our sin. We've experienced five souls that have come forward and obeyed the gospel of Christ this week. What a great thing that is. What joy we take in that. But why do we take joy in that? It's because we know that through faith that they have been cleansed of their sin. By faith, they now have victory in Jesus. And so with the time that we have this morning, we're going to discuss three things that through faith we have victory through Christ in. And we see this illustrated in 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So we see that through faith we have victory over the world. We have victory over persecutions, and ultimately we have victory over death. In 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, we begin to see how by through faith in Christ we have victory over the world. There it says in verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You see, the world is full of sin. We can look around the world, all around us, we see all of these things, many of which Braden mentioned in his lesson previously. The sin of the world is among us. It's all around us. And the wages of sin is death, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. But in 1 John 4 and verse 14, the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. He sent the Son to redeem us from those sins when we fall into those things. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 1. Here we begin to see it illustrated how Christ saves us from our sins. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. So again, we see the course of the world. The nature of the world is that which is of sin, and in these things you once walked and were dead, but you he made alive. Continuing in verse 2, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So we see that these here, spoken of, once walked in sin. They once walked in the things of the world. But what does he say here in verse 4? It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love which he has with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Yes, it is through Christ that we've been made alive. We've been redeemed from those sins when we come to him. But we see that it's by grace that we are saved. In verse 8, it continues, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Brett brought us an excellent lesson on Friday evening, talking about obedience and faith and how the two must go together. You can't have obedience without faith, and you can't have faith without obedience. They must go together. They stand and fall together. The works of obedience that we work, however, are not boastful works by which we can earn our salvation through some kind of merit. But rather, it is not of ourselves, but it is of the gift of God. In verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We don't obey just for any reason, but we obey because we are his workmanship. He has created us. And as such, we owe a duty to him. He has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What should we walk? In the good works that he has prepared for us. Yes, indeed, by our obedience, our working faith in Christ Jesus, we have victory over sin and we have victory over the world. Secondly, we'll look at how we have victory in Christ over persecutions. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, there's nothing of this world that can separate the love of Christ from us. But if you'll recall the passage that we read just a moment ago in 1 John chapter 2, what did it say about the world? It says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If we want to have the love of God in our life, we can't love the world. We have to put those things away and love God. And if we do that, there's nothing that can take that away from us. No man can take it away. No thing can take it away. Only we can give it away by turning from God and loving the world. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see Paul here exhorting Timothy to remain strong in the faith and turn away from those who continue in sin and resist the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Yes, Paul exhorts Timothy here to turn away from the ones who practice these things, because from those things perilous times will come. But what does he say in verse 10? But you, he contrasts the ones who are participating in these things to what Timothy is doing, and he says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But what does he continue there? Yes, and what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Paul endured persecutions for the sake of Christ, and we can stand assured that just as Christ delivered him from those things, he will deliver us as well. And we see in verse 12 that yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We know that it's something that is going to come our way. It's something that we're going to have to deal with in our lives. It's something that we're going to have to endure. But just as God delivered Paul from his persecution, so will he deliver us. And he continues in verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He exhorts Timothy not to be deceived by the ones who practice these things. Verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Yes, we see that it's the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, that makes us wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That faith that we have, it comes from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we have to center on those things in our life, immerse ourselves in it, focus continually on it, so that we can overcome these persecutions when they come our way. We also have an eternal perspective of these persecutions. These persecutions are not for nothing, but they have a purpose in our life. In Romans chapter 8, if you'll turn back there with me, Romans chapter 8, and in verse 18 it says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The persecutions, yes, we're going to have to endure them, but the glory that we will receive in Christ is far greater. And our affliction has a purpose. If it had no purpose, it would be impossible for us to bear it. We'd become discouraged. We would become brought down by these things. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 16, we see that these things are but temporary. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Yes, we have a perspective of our persecutions, that through them we will be delivered. We will live with God eternally if we endure these things. And so by our faith in Christ Jesus through the Word of God, we can endure and we can have victory over persecutions. And finally, we'll see that through faith we can have victory over death. We've just mentioned earlier that the wages of sin is death. And we see that Christ's blood is the sacrifice that was made for that in Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 23. Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but in heaven itself now appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Yes, we see that death will come, that this physical body will perish. It is appointed for men to die once and then the judgment. But the blood of Christ is the sacrifice for sins once for all, that we would not have to endure the second death, the penalty for our sins, the eternal death that would be the penalty for that. And in Romans chapter 6, and in verse 3, we begin to see how by baptism we contact that death of Christ, the blood that he shed there. Romans chapter 6, and in verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We can be raised from the death that we have in our sin through our baptism in Christ Jesus. In verse 5 it says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no dominion over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. So when we're buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, just as Christ was buried and was raised, and death has no dominion over him, so will death have no dominion over us. Verse 11 says, likewise you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how we know that just as death has no dominion over Christ, neither will it have dominion over us. And then finally, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, we can be assured that if we have faith in Christ Jesus, that we willingly submit in obedience to him, that is, making our will his will, and we serve him all our days, yes, we indeed can have victory through Christ over death and have that eternal home in heaven that has been reserved for us.